Proverbs chapter 11, and let me read a few verses, and then we will back up and begin looking at some of the words that are here. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. We'll stop reading there and go back up to verse 1. It says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. The idea of a false balance is that which is fraud or deceitful there. The word here has to do with being level. We have a phrase sometimes that we say, you know, be on the level or level with me. There has to do with honesty, of course. And we think about the scales, a false balance. Remember in the older days, whenever they were buying groceries, you know, things by the pound, you know, they had the scales there, and they used to have the weights, and, you know, you had the different sizes, you know, the different weights of them, and you'd put the big one on, and you keep adding weights until you would get it balanced here. And so that's the idea of being balanced there. And we need to have balance in our lives. There's so many people and organizations sometimes that will go too far this way, or sometimes they'll go too far this way, but maintaining a balance, even in things like having standards. We want to have biblical standards, and there are some people that they go so far one way and the others don't have any standards at all. The Bible talks about truth, and it also talks about mercy, and so balancing those two things of truth and justice with tempering it with some mercy as well. And so in our Christian lives, we don't need to be, you know, like a roller coaster where we're up and down and up and down, but steady, consistency. A false balance, it says, is abomination to the Lord. And we saw that word briefly when I was giving the message this past Sunday night when we were looking at the topic of homosexuality, and where it says that that is an abomination to the Lord. But here we see that it's not just the sin of homosexuals that's an abomination to the Lord. It's also an abomination to the Lord when someone is dishonest. A just weight is his delight. And so a false balance, deception, God hates that. It's an abomination to the Lord. But whenever he sees people dealing justly, the word here for just is the idea of being complete and whole. It hasn't been altered at all. It's complete. But see, on a false balance, the real weight has been altered. It's been adjusted somewhat. And so God says when people are totally up front, there's a just weight. God delights in that there. He has pleasure there. And so not only does honesty bring joy to God, it also brings blessing to us when we do what is right. It delights the heart of God. Verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, that is, disgrace there. And whenever a person is full of pride and he thinks he's I guess he thinks he's a 10, and when he's a 0, you know, he thinks he's more than he really is. And then when he eventually finds the truth, he's not all that he thought he was, then the shame comes along. And so we need to have that humble spirit. So in verse 2 it says, with the lowly is wisdom there. And so when a person is lowly or humble, it helps that scale to be balanced. Because if a person thinks too highly of himself, he's not going to have a just weight. He's going to have a false balance of his own worth. And we realize that our worth, apart from Christ, is nothing. But through Christ, we can do all things. And so we have that proper balance there. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Integrity, what a wonderful thing. Doing that which is right. Integrity will cause a man not to cut corners. Can you imagine if a contractor is out there building a house and he's putting in the insulation, you know, in the walls there, and he thought he bought enough, but, you know, and he gets all the way around, but there's a section of the house about this far that doesn't get the insulation. Now he's got to go buy more. But nobody would know if he just went ahead and sealed it up, you know, inside and outside. They wouldn't know. But integrity will cause a man to do what's right even when nobody knows. And God delights in that. It says in verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. And unfortunately, too many people are guided by the fact that I got to see who's watching me, and that's going to determine what I do. But whenever we have the integrity that God wants us to have, that's going to guide us, and we're going to do what's right, even if nobody's watching. We're going to do what's right, even if it costs us a little bit extra. We're going to do what's right because it is the right thing to do. And that principle will guide us. And whenever we are guided by integrity, verse 3 goes on to say the opposite, the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And transgressors, the idea is crossing the line, transgressing. And so people that don't have that mindset of integrity, oh, they're going to cross the line. They're going to try to cut corners and get away with everything that they can get away with. They will distort the truth there. And when it says perverseness of transgressors, and that's oftentimes people are trying to change the names of sins to try to make them appear not so bad. You've heard, of course, people, you know, the Bible term is drunkenness. But in our society, alcoholism, you know, sounds not quite as strong as a drunkard there. Or even the topic of homosexuality, they come up with the term gay. You know, that sounds better than what the Bible calls perversion there. And you look at other things like a lie. We have other words, a fib. You know, this doesn't sound as strong as lie, does it? Not long ago, I had someone in my office, and a parent, you know, and used the word untruth. You know, and it is an untruth, you know. And I had a student in my office this morning, actually, and he had written some profanity there, and which, of course, is perverseness. That's what we're talking about in verse 3 there. The perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And so people try to make it not sound quite as bad as it is, changing the names. Well, what the sixth grader did was, he didn't mean to. It was an accident that he wrote this word here. And I'm saying, boy, I've heard of vanishing ink, but I've never heard of pens that will write by themselves. And he was crying, and, Mr. Davis, anything else I can do? What can I do? I said, well, you can learn from this and not do it again. But I didn't mean to. It was an accident. I said, you go home and tell your mother that. And whenever she comes back in here and she accepts that, then we'll talk, okay? And so I don't think he's going to, he might try it, because I think he told one other teacher it was an accident as well. It just doesn't sound as bad when you say it's an accident, do you? And so here, verse 3 says, the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Trying to get gain or advantage, going back to verse 1, with a false balance. People trying to get more than what's due them by deceit, and it's going to destroy them. What they think is going to give them a little bit of an advantage, a little bit more, but it doesn't work that way. But a person who is guided by integrity, and he's going to do what's right, whether no one knows it, whether it cost him extra, he's not looking at the profit or the gain from it. He's looking at a standard of what's right. And whenever you know people like that, it's good to do business with those kinds of people there. Verse 4, riches. He talks about that because those with a false balance, that's their goal, to get a little more than what they normally would have, what they should have. It says, riches profit not in the day of wrath. The riches, they might be valuable now, but they're not going to help anybody whenever they stand before the Lord in the day of wrath. And it goes on to say, but righteousness delivereth from death there. And so we saw in verse 3 that perverseness destroys lives, but righteousness delivers lives. And so God is going to make it all right in the end, isn't he? So whenever that person who has lived by integrity and his integrity has guided him and he's done what's right just because it's right, in the end, God's going to take care of all of that. And so we trust God, and even if no one else sees, we know God sees there, and he delights in a just weight, and he delights in integrity. Verse 5 continues the thought of the righteousness. He says, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. In verse 3, we saw that integrity guides the person, but now we see righteousness directs his way there. But the wicked, in verse 5, they shall fall by their own wickedness. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil there. And so that's why people have the false balance, the scales, or putting their thumb on the scale, so to speak, there, trying to get more profit than what they're deserving here. And it leads to destruction there. They are going to fall, it tells us in verse 5. Verse 6, the righteousness, there's the word again. We saw it in verse 4. We saw it in verse 5. Now verse 6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. And verse 5, we saw it directs them. So doing what's right will direct you. It will guide you with integrity. And also it will deliver us from the destruction, from falling there. And doing what's right is in our best interest. You've heard the saying before, honesty is the best policy. Well, honesty really for the believer is the only policy, isn't it? That the integrity will guide a man to do what's right. Verse 7, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. I think I skipped part of verse 6, that word naughtiness. I wanted to mention that before we move on. The end of verse 6, it says, transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness there. And the word naughtiness means calamity. And so those who put the thumb on the scale and try to get more, and the love of money is the root of all evil, and they take advantage of people, here it says they're going to come up with some calamity. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, and they're going to pay for that. And when a wicked man dies, in verse 7, his hope or his expectation shall perish. Death ends it for him. So the person who has had a false balance and has lived by deceit, has taken advantage of people to try to get a gain. When he gets to the end of his life, he's not going to be able to go back and change any of that. There's no expectation there. There's no second chance after this life. But verse 7 also says, the hope of the unjust man perishes there. No hope at all. What a terrible thing to have. No hope. It's all over. His expectation shall be cut off. Remember last week, if you were here, we saw that word expectation in verse 7. And we look back to Joshua. And remember we were talking about the scarlet thread, the line, the rope that was let down. And that was the word of expectation. And so the hope that they had was in that line that was going to deliver them. And that's the same word we have here in verse 7. And it talks about a person's expectation, the cord that binds together. So what happens if it breaks? Well, our hope, our expectation never breaks. But that of the wicked, it says, their expectation, it's going to perish. They think that they've got an escape route. They think they have a scarlet line to which they can escape. But most times they think it's their money, because riches, we saw in verse 4, they will not profit in the day of wrath. People might look to the money as their hope, their expectation. But as another passage of Scripture says, it kind of takes wings and flies away. And it seems like at this time of year, flies faster, doesn't it, at Christmas time there. Now go to verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. Oftentimes when we read Scriptures, we have to, especially prepositions, look at what the Scriptures do not say as well as what they do say. It says the righteous is delivered out of trouble. It doesn't say the righteous is delivered from trouble. So God has never promised us that we would not have trouble in our lives, but he has promised us that he would deliver us out of it. And in times that we're going through trouble, God never leaves us. He's always there with us. And so we're delivered out of trouble, and with the wicked cometh in his stead there. Verse 9, a hypocrite. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. With his mouth he destroys. So the mouth is really a power tool. You like using power tools? If you have a job to do, you know, the old-fashioned screwdriver, you know, if you've ever had to take, years ago, used to have to take storm windows off, you know. You'd put the storm windows up on the house in the wintertime, and then you'd take them off, you know, and you had to do them all with screwdrivers. And then they came out with these power tools, you know, which would, you know, and just pull those screws right out of there, you know. And power tools are nice, but power tools can also be destructive, can't they, if you don't use them. Like the old TV show, Tim the Tool Man Taylor. You know, he always had those power tools. He always was kind of destructive with them there. But that's what the tongue is, verse 9 says. A hypocrite with his mouth becomes a power tool to his neighbor. Instead of borrowing the power tool from the neighbor, he uses his tongue as a power tool to be destructive there, verse 9. And it goes on to say, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. And so we need to learn some things, and that's what knowledge does. We need to teach our kids, teach ourselves, the importance of integrity, as we saw. Doing that which is right just because it's the right thing to do. And that kind of knowledge, it says, the just man will be delivered. So we don't have to be deceptive and try to beat out the system or figure it out. All we have to do is do what's right. And God takes care of all the other things if we trust Him and just do that which is right there. And so then we just have to say, Lord, show me what is right. Most of the times we know, but sometimes we just don't know what is the right thing to do. We ought to have that pre-commitment. I'm going to do what's right. Lord, I'm not sure what the right thing is, but I'm going to do it, Lord. So you help me know what's right, and I'm going to do it. And that's, as verse 1 says, the Lord delights in that. Now verse 10. When it goeth well with the righteous, it says the city rejoices. Notice the broad effect of righteousness. And so when the righteous people are in control, the city rejoices. But when the wicked perish, there is shouting there. Because not only do the righteous have a broad effect on the whole city, but when the wicked are in authority, they also have a negative effect. And whenever that wickedness and that negative effect is gone, then there's shouting, there's rejoicing because of that. Verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted there. And so it's affecting the lives of others. They are blessing as it is exalted. It says, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. There again, you have those power tools of the tongue. And we're talking about a city here, but it also applies to a nation. And America could be overthrown if the wicked and the liberals continue to run their mouths. Basically, that's what this verse is saying here when they're talking here. And so isn't there so much wicked talk and so much verbal violence and threats? And so people rejoice when that kind of wickedness is out of the way. Verse 12 says, he that is void of wisdom. He that is void of wisdom. Have you heard that saying, common sense is not too common? Well, here, people are void of wisdom there. And from the political side, you think of socialism. You know, why would someone be in favor of socialism? I mean, it doesn't take a very smart person to look to see what has happened to countries that are socialistic, and why would people push for that? Well, here's the answer right here. They're void of wisdom there. It says, he that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace there. And so with the neighbor, we saw that word earlier there about the tongue being a power tool that can destroy a relationship with the neighbor. And sometimes it's important for us to learn to hold our peace. Verse 12 talks about a man of understanding holds his peace there. And that's not being reactionary. It's easy for us to be reactionary. And so if somebody says or does something, it just causes a reaction. But a man of integrity is going to do what's right, and he's going to make sure he's in control of his power tool, the tongue, and that he is going to hold his peace. Now, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets there. Hold your place there and go to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 21. It says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Oh, talebearers just want to tell something new, want to hear something new. And these talebearers here, verse 13 says, they reveal secrets. And the idea of this verse is what we usually refer to as confidentiality. I'm sure probably most, if not all of you, have had someone say to you, I want to tell you this in confidence. Or maybe you've said that to someone else. We need to be careful whenever we are telling somebody that they're telling us something in confidence, because verse 13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets. And if you have something that you need to share with someone and you only want that one person to know, maybe you just need to get it off your chest. You don't want anybody else to know. When you start counting the number of people that you have that much confidence in that you can go and tell that person and know that that person not going to tell a soul, well, that's a wonderful quality to have. It's confidentiality there. Verse 13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets there. What a wonderful thing it is to have someone that we have total confidence in, that we can confide in someone when we need to there. We see the opposite of that in verse 13. But he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. And so you see the two things that are being contrasted here. One is a blabbermouth, a talebearer here, and the other one is a faithful person. And so what is faithfulness? Well, we could get a lot of ideas and thoughts about faithfulness. But in this verse, faithfulness is defined by someone who is able to keep a secret, someone who can hold a confidence there. He that is of a faithful spirit, he will conceal the matter there. And again, it goes back to that idea of integrity there. A talebearer, he's going to reveal secrets. But a faithful person, he's not going to be involved in gossip at all, because he's going to conceal the matter there. All right, go to verse 14. A couple more verses and we'll be finished. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. It's a wonderful thing to have counsel. I think it was Lee Robertson who said, everything rises and falls on leadership. And you need leaders that can provide counsel. The rest of the verse says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety there. And if you need some counsel, you need some advice on whatever, whenever you go to ask someone, you're going to go and ask someone that you have confidence in, aren't you? Somebody that you trust. And that goes back to people that are not talebearers, people that can hold a confidence. But it's a wonderful thing to have a multitude of counselors. It says there is safety in that. And I think of our school committee and our board of elders and deacons. That is a multitude of counselors. And when we have that multitude of counselors, when we have the checks and balances system and our expenditures, been going over that a little bit, getting ready for the accreditation, because they want to know our procedures for checks and finances, because you hear too often, you know, somebody at this church over here, they swindled out $30,000 over the course of 4 or 5 years, and I'm thinking, how did somebody not know that? They don't check at all. Maybe they're trusting a person but not having checks and balances. It goes back to that false balance is abomination to the Lord. So we need to have some checks and balances, some things in place like we do here with who writes the checks and who signs the checks and the finance committee and both the boards. And here this verse says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I am so thankful for the multitude of counselors that the Lord has given into this ministry there. And those men and women on our school committee and our board that are people of integrity, that want to do what's right by the Lord, want to do what's right for our school, for our church, for the parents and the students, and in that multitude of counselors, there's safety with that tonight, and we will pick up at verse 15 next week,